Welcome to Elevate. I'm so happy you're here with me today, and I cannot wait to share this episode with you. As an evidence-based coach, mentor, and entrepreneur, I'm obsessed with learning and personal development as it's transformed my entire life, as well as those I get to work with. And to be quite frank, it's literally the entire reason this podcast exists, to fuel your growth, gain perspective, and acquire knowledge. So buckle up, friends, you're in for a treat. And as always, thank you for supporting me and the show so we can continue to elevate our own lives as well as those you share this with. Now, let's get into it. Today, we're going to talk about how you can learn to always stay motivated. I get it. You set out, you got a New Year's goal, you're going to lose the weight, you're going to get fit, you're going to work out, you're going to do all the things until you don't. And a part of you is wondering, why is this so difficult? I know what I need to do. I'm simply not doing it. And after a full day of working on screens or waking up and being on your phone, you just don't have the energy or the willpower or the discipline to get yourself to actually follow through on the things that you know are good for you. You just can't get yourself to take the actions you know you need to take. Hi, my name is Kate Ann Michelle. I'm the CEO and head coach at Level Up Elite Fitness, and I am also a clinical psychology student. So I'm going to be breaking down how you can leverage your brain to make sure that you always stay motivated and can reestablish positive behaviors and reinforcement to actually enjoy exercising, eating healthy, and really dialing in, following through on your goals. So the first thing that I'm going to talk about today is dopamine. Dopamine controls all of your behavior. It is the thing that is going to not only create pleasure, but reinforce the behaviors that you engage with. So while you may think that you control yourself, in fact, we are always controlled by dopamine and our circuitry. Now, where does dopamine come from? It comes from a place called the nucleus accumbens in your brain. And this area of your brain is responsible for motivation. What happens as you experience dopamine is you take an action, dopamine circuitry is activated. You feel pleasure, and that pleasure reinforces you taking that action. And let's be honest, we all want to experience really pleasurable things. So things like opening your phone in the morning, scrolling on TikTok, getting on Instagram, watching a YouTube, all of those things drive pleasure, and they also require you to take no effort. So why is this a bad thing? And how is this impacting you achieving your goals exactly? Well, think about it this way. When you wake up in the morning, you have a full reserve of dopamine. And I want you to think about your dopamine levels kind of like an orange. If you like real orange juice, you'll understand this analogy, right? When you first squeeze the orange, you get a lot of juice. You will get a lot of fresh fruit right in your cup. But as you start to deplete all the juice, you have to squeeze really, really hard to get the last little bits of that juice to come out into your fresh and delicious new cup of orange juice. Think about that like highly dopaminergic activities, such as scrolling on your phone. As soon as you do that, it depletes a lot of dopamine, which makes it really difficult for you to then do anything that requires sustained effort, like resistance training, going to the gym, or being intentional about what you're eating that day. This is oftentimes why you might sit down and feel like, I know what I need to be doing. I should go to the gym. I should get off of my phone. I should not be lounging in front of Netflix eating some chips. I should X, Y, and Z, right? That is the voice in you. That's going to be your prefrontal cortex, and we'll get to that in a little bit. Trying to guide you in the right direction. It knows what your goals are, and it's logically trying to move you towards them, yet you have zero motivation or desire to get up and go and do those things. So how can we flip that script? Well, the first thing that you need to understand is that we actually want a lot of dopamine ready in our brain to be able to utilize. A really good example of this was a study that they did in rats. And essentially they had a control group and then they had a dopamine depleted group. And what they saw was that the rats who were depleted, so the dopamine detox that you hear about all the time on the internet, is actually not the way that you want to go. You want high levels of dopamine because they allow you to do harder things and be more motivated throughout your entire day. Whereas if we deplete your dopamine, your ability to even take action, to be motivated to do anything at all, significantly declines, which is why at the end of the day, for example, people that work out or put their workouts off until the end of the day typically don't follow through. So remember, depleted means you're likely to take less action, whereas if we have high levels of dopamine, you're able to overcome some of the behavioral constraints. Now, why does this matter when it comes to your health and fitness journey? Well, going to the gym and exercising requires a lot of sustained effort towards something that you don't reap an immediate reward from. So of course, if you try to do that with low levels of dopamine, you're also going to be activating a different part of your brain, which I will dive into towards later on, which I will dive into in a little bit, as to where your value base is coming from. You value certain activities because you assume a certain amount of reward as you pursue them or once the task is done. But when it comes to working out or losing weight, you don't go exercise for an hour as hard as you can and then just see the scale drop or the 20 pounds melt away. And so we can do a values assessment around those ideas and recognize that your subconscious, not necessarily your conscious brain, but your subconscious has put other tasks in front of that, like scrolling on your phone or TikTok or texting or being on the phone or whatever it is you might be doing with your time that, again, is highly dopaminergic as an activity. Also think about dopamine like your overall battery, right? As you do different tasks throughout the day, your dopamine levels are going to deplete. Now, towards the end of the day, that means that you're going to need a powerful source to kind of pull the rest of the dopamine out, which is why if you're going to scroll or do any of those types of activities, you want to be able to leverage those later in the day. You're still going to get the same dopamine spike. It's still going to pull all that dopamine out. But instead of utilizing that on the front end of your day, where you go from 100% to 20% by just scrolling for a few minutes, you can leverage the high levels of dopamine that you have in the morning to go and get the hard things done, the things that you actually need to be productive with, such as your food plan or going to the gym. Now, if you don't believe me around how easy it is to get on social media and how depleting that is, Think about the tasks that you do when you're sitting by yourself at the end of the day or when you're really tired. What do we usually do? Watch Netflix, watch a TV show, scroll on our phones. And that's because it's so easy to do it. And again, we get a large spike of dopamine. It's a large dopaminergic activity that is pulling the dopamine from your brain that requires no effort from you. So now we're going to get into another part of your brain that we want to learn to leverage, because if we just try to motivate ourselves again to change different behaviors, there's not going to be that positive reinforcement. And remember, a lot of this is driven cognitively, and we don't have a ton of control over that programming unless we leverage other parts of the brain. Now we're going to get into the amygdala and the limbic system. Now, what I want you to understand is that negative emotion drives you to seek out dopaminergic activities. This is why self-sabotage around eating delicious, highly palatable foods is something that many people will do to derail their fitness progress overall. They experience negative emotion. We don't want to feel negative emotion, and so we seek out dopaminergic activities like snacking on Little Debbie's cookies or scrolling on social media. When you are feeling low, you are significantly more vulnerable to engaging in these types of things to make yourself feel better, because when we get a hit of dopamine, it wipes out the negative emotions that we were just experiencing, which makes us feel a lot better overall. And what you want to recognize, and why I'm bringing this up, is that most people have really high levels of negative emotion. And if you can work through the negative emotion that you're experiencing, that is going to also give you the capability to resist more dopaminergic activities like spending your time on your phone or snacking while you're trying to lose weight. But it's not until you can deal with your own shit that you're going to be able to actually reestablish that circuitry and get your brain to start working with you instead of being the thing that gets you frustrated because you aren't handling all the shit that you've just let pile up over time. And this will also help you to reinforce the behaviors that you actually want to be engaging in. Again, bridging the gap from intention, knowing what to do, to following through and actually doing it. So how can we do this? How can we process our negative emotions? Well, one thing I'd say is working with a counselor or a therapist if you want to work through these things with somebody else. But if you're somebody who's got kind of your nose up about therapy and you don't want to do that, things like going for a walk or getting an active movement can actually help you work through negative emotions. So if you are somebody who wants to try to improve these things and stop the self-sabotage or stop the reliance on dopaminergic activities that drop your motivation and then therefore prevent your follow through on the activities or actions you actually want to be taking, doing things like walking, journaling, or meditating can also be impactful things that you can apply right from your home. Now, I want to get into another part of the brain that we want to understand and be able to leverage, and that is your prefrontal cortex. This is the part of your brain, and I'm sure you've heard a lot of people in the fitness industry talk about willpower, but essentially that's where all of this comes from. It's that voice in your head that's telling you what you need to do. You know, the one that's like, you probably shouldn't be eating more. You really don't need a snack. You really should go work out. It's really good for you to go do that. Oh, you might feel so much better if you just go do that thing. Or if you're a student, you really need to study. You really need to get that work done. You really need to get that task done. A lot of you guys that are just like, oh, I'll just do it tomorrow. I'll just study for my test Thursday because it's on Friday and I've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday where I can just waste my fucking time by doing highly interactive and engaging dopaminergic activities. So remember earlier, I talked a little bit about a values assessment. Well, this is what the prefrontal cortex is responsible for doing. Now, a lot of you guys think that objective actively, you want to exercise because it's good for you. But the value assessment doesn't come from what you're telling yourself it should be. It actually comes from the subconscious part of your brain that takes the actions and engages in the behaviors. That is where your true value assessment is actually registered. So how do we change that? What you want to do is sit down and do a conscious value assessment. So what does that look like and how would you play this out? Right before you're being called to engage in activity like picking up your phone or going to the cupboard to pick up something to eat or sitting on your couch with a bag of Doritos, trying to watch your favorite Netflix series, what you want to do is pause and actually grab a piece of paper. Do not do this on any type of technology. It is not going to help. But what I want you to do is grab a pen and paper and actually play it out to the end so that you can assess the consequences of the decision that you're about to make. For example, I'll go to the gym later. I'm going to sit down and watch this movie. Well, what happens when the movie's done? Are you really going to go to the gym? What is the consequences of you doing that? Probably, oh, you'll think of work you need to do or other tasks that need to get done. And so you continue to push it off. And when you play it all the way down, all you're doing is creating a dumpster fire for you to then have to pick the mess up from tomorrow or the next day or the next year, depending on how long you allow this behavioral pattern to manifest itself. So one of the ways that you can improve as far as your values assessment, think about it this way. I want you to sit down and think about a time that you had an exam to take. Now, you've probably known that you had a final since the beginning of the semester that you needed to study for. But oftentimes, we don't take the time to sit down and actually study until like the night before, which I've been guilty of as well. But why do we do that? Again, it goes back to the values assessment of what we're actively doing. If we have distance between ourselves and the deadline, then we're more likely to push it off. Which is why you continue to procrastinate on projects because you don't see how important they are and you don't make them in your mind immediately important. So if you want to leverage your ability to start doing the things that you need to be doing, shift the timeline or the deadline of when the task needs to be done. This will trigger your brain to see it as urgent and it will increase its value distribution comparatively to other things like gaming or watching TV, scrolling your phone, etc. This can give you the incentivization to get the thing done that you know needs to be done and take the stress off of you later on if we play that all the way through. And essentially what this exercise is doing is allowing you to actually play out the consequences of you not doing what is indeed best for you and doing what you feel motivated to do. Now, as you start to re-register your value system, and if you've heard me before talk a little bit about self-sabotage or emotional eating, the first goal is always to, one, build the awareness over the action that you are compelled to take, but also recognize when you're engaging with it. This is where you might sit down to open up your phone and start scrolling, but in the back of your mind, you're like, I really should go to the gym, actually. I should go get that project done. I really need to start working on that thing so that I don't pile it up until tomorrow. Or if you're somebody who struggled with emotional eating, it might look like, oh my gosh, I really shouldn't be eating these cookies. And then you stop. That is progress. Okay, that is you starting to realign those value systems subconsciously in your mind to say, hey, I don't actually really need to be doing this. I could probably go do that. That would be better for me to do. And so this is why we cannot get beat up on the idea of perfection because it doesn't work that way as we start to reprogram what's going on subconsciously and psychologically in your own programming. But as you stay diligent with these ideas and with these concepts and with these skills, you will be able to naturally be able to stop engaging with those highly dopaminergic activities and actually align your behavior with what you want to be doing. So now we need to get into another part of the brain that we're going to want to leverage, and this is your hippocampus. Again, this is what you were taught in school probably is like the memory center of your brain, and that's how we're going to think about it here too. Now this has a very strong communication to the nucleus accumbens, which again is where we get our motivation from and our behavioral reinforcement. Now your hippocampus has a thing for novelty. So why am I bringing that up? Why is that important when it comes to your health and fitness goals? Well, how many times have you gone through an exercise program and you fucking hate it? And that's the reason you quit because it just got boring over time. You can't get yourself to go to the gym and stay consistent going to the gym because you're just sick and tired of being sick and tired of trying to do this thing. That's why I'm talking about this. This is where if you're somebody who's trying to really get into a groove or a habit of just moving your body and exercising because it's good for you, but you don't have the motivation to continue to train like a bodybuilder or a power lifter or a CrossFit athlete or whatever it is that you might have done into this point, what you want to focus on doing is how can I make this activity have some novelty to it? Maybe that's going to Pilates. Maybe that's taking a UFC class. Maybe that's doing group classes. Maybe that's Peloton. Maybe that's training for endurance instead of performance or strength. There's so many different ways that you can engage in exercise, and being able to pivot as you notice that your motivation is declining, or the exercise activity just feels daunting, is something that you can leverage to keep yourself actively pursuing the behavior in itself. So while switching things up all the time is not necessarily helpful, and I don't want you to take this to an extreme of like you can't stay with a training program for 8 weeks or a training block, what you want to notice is if you've been training in the same style for 6 months or a year, and it's just not fun or it doesn't excite you anymore, then bring some novelty into that and you'll be amazed at how much more motivated you are to actually go and do the thing. And if you want to see an example of this in real life, going back to our cell phones and social media and how it's rotting your freaking brain, this is why Apple's always updating its phones, why it's always updating the software or the new gadgets that are within the cell phone itself. When you have novelty or a new addition to something, it makes people want it more. They leverage psychology to get consumer behavior to align with what they're trying to do, which is obviously profit off of whatever they're selling. Even if the changes are minuscule, there are changes enough to where the consumers want to and are motivated to buy a new iPhone, though their current iPhone is just fine. The same thing will apply to your fitness journey. Again, change it up, get some novelty in there. You can do this with your meals as well. If you're sick of eating chicken, rice, and broccoli, change it up. Okay, there are no good and bad foods. I don't do that, at least in my practice. But understand that everything can fit, and you may just need to add a little bit more variety or novelty to your menu during the week to change things up and allow you to be compliant with your overall calorie distribution. Now, the last circuit that we're going to talk about in the brain that we want to leverage as we're, again, trying to control and leverage our behavior and motivation to do the things we know we need to do, bridging the gap from intention to action, is the opioid circuit. I know, you're like, why are we talking about opioid circuits? Trust me, there are some addictive processes aligned with motivation and behavior, such as, again, cell phone consumption or eating delicious, highly palatable foods. The opioid circuit largely influences the nucleus accumbens, and so we want to understand how it works and how it's driving our behavior overall. Think about your opioid circuit like the pain and pleasure circuitry of your mind. What you want to also understand, which is fascinating but true if you assess your own behavior and the things that you are proud of in your life, is that there is pain that's actually correlated to pleasure, which means the activities that you engage in need to be difficult for you to accomplish in order for you to reap the big benefit of the return of the pleasure circuitry that tells you that you're proud of yourself. For example, in the gym, let's say that you're squatting and you're somebody who's afraid to lift heavy because you're going to get bulky and all the mess. That's absolutely not true. If you believe that, please, let's have a conversation. Feel free to email me. I'll tell you all the things that are wrong with that perception of you getting bulky and blowing up, because we're just not physically capable of doing that. But again, if you guys ever have questions or you want me to expand on anything I've mentioned to this far, please leave a comment or let me know if I need to clarify anything, or if you'd like to reach out for help, please feel free to do so. I'll leave all those links in the description. But onto the opioid circuit and why pain and pleasure are so important. Remember, like I said, you need enough pain, not to the point where you're completely broken down and you can't recover, but there's a right amount of hard that needs to be applied when it comes to reinforcing these types of behaviors and reaping the overall correlation between the effort and the pain or the suffering that we've been through during the process or the activity, to then reinforce it with an abundance of the pleasure emotion that we feel once we accomplish something. So going back to the gym example, let's say that you're somebody who's squatting, and every single week you do a goblet squat with 15-pound dumbbells. It's not that hard for you. It's kind of monotonous, but you're showing up. After that workout, you don't feel any pleasure. It's kind of like, yeah, I went and did the thing and nothing changed. So why am I going to keep doing that? Your motivation is going to decline. This is also why an exercise we tell anybody with a fucking brain anyways that knows what they're talking about when it comes to training is getting close to failure. That's the right amount of hard. You want to be struggling. You want to feel the burn, right? You want the last 1 to 2 reps to be challenging, but not to the point where you're breaking your body down doing it either. So if you then go up to 30 pounds on a goblet squat and you're struggling the last 2 or 3 reps, what you'll notice when you leave that is like, wow, I didn't think I could do it, but I did it. That's amazing. And you will positively reinforce you showing up again to then try to exceed that performance, which is why progressive overload in general, and we use a double progressive model in my business because most women respond really well to that style of training. But either way, using a progressive model can actually reinforce positive motivation to continue to show up and do the thing. leverage this about your brain. So in closing, what you need to understand is all of the different circuits that you want to leverage when it comes to you staying motivated, actually doing the things that you know you want to be doing to achieve the goals that you have, and minimize the largely dopaminergic inputs that we're constantly consuming on a daily basis. A lot of people talk about how to fix certain things, or they talk about willpower and discipline. But you can leverage your motivation if you know where all the inputs are coming, which is why I wanted to make this video. Motivation is not something that you don't have. It's something that you're actually just wasting on stupid, mindless, and easy activities that are literally putting you in a position that you don't want to be in. And when you can understand how your motivation circuitry works and what the inputs are that contribute to that, you can start to change how you function to make those actions that feel really difficult for you to engage with now a lot fucking easier for you as you move forward. So again, the nucleus accumbens is the circuit of the brain that is seeking out pleasure. And it's hard because we're in a world where we want what we want. And it's almost like we're in a struggle of wanting to want the right things because there's everything everywhere all the time. This is also why we want to leverage the multiple different parts of the brain. So I'm just going to run down through what they are and what I want you to take away from this video. So number one, understand how negative emotion is going to impact your desire for dopaminergic activities. And so you need to work through your shit in order to not have such high levels of negative emotion, which will also improve your restraint towards the dopaminergic activities and also incentivize you to do the actions that you actually want to do, therefore reinforcing the behavior that you want to be constantly consistently engaging with. Number two, add novelty. Add novelty where you need it, whether it's your food or your exercise. You can change things up. It doesn't make you less of a fucking fitness enthusiast, okay? We need more people to just simply exercise, and there is nothing wrong with changing up how you're moving your body or what you're doing as a form of exercise for yourself. Remember that we also require the right amount of hard. It's not always doing more is better. It's making what you're doing challenging enough to where you can reap the rewards of the correlation between pain and pleasure so that you continue to reinforce you taking action on that behavior or habit that you're trying to build. And lastly, and most importantly, do not engage with highly dopaminergic activities first thing in the morning. Do not open your phone for at least an hour. Ideally, if you're somebody who really wants to capitalize on this, try to not do it for the first 3 to 4 hours of your day. This is going to drain your dopamine largely. Again, going back to the orange that we're squeezing, there's a lot of juice that's going to come out. And then you're going to be pulling at the remainder of the dopamine to try to get the other tasks done that are actually important in real life done for you because you simply don't have the motivation to do them. I hope this video helped you understand how you can leverage your motivation, how motivation works, what inputs we need to be focused on so that you can actually start being consistent when it comes to taking action on achieving and moving towards the goals that you have for yourself and stop self-sabotaging the entire process by continuing to engage with high dopaminergic activities that aren't necessarily good for you and certainly aren't bringing you closer to where you want to be. As always, if you have a question or there's another topic you want me to dive into, leave a comment under this video, hit that like button, hit the subscribe button, share it with somebody who needs to hear it, and I'll talk to you guys next time. We'll